Welcome to Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor. Welcome everybody to another episode of Let's Talk Golf, and today's guest is Dylan Higgins from the Paraparaumu Beach Golf Course. Welcome.
Thanks, Penny. Thanks for having me.
So what's your like title and role at the beach course?
Yes, lucky me. I'm the general manager at Paraparaumu Beach Golf Club. I've been there for just over a year now, so finally starting to find my feet. And as I'm sure we're about to talk about, I've been quite busy.
Yes, and what a time to come into a new role at the course, because you have a big championship coming up. So first up, what's the name of the championship? And so I get it right and we all reference the proper name of this championship, because I'm noticing watching golf that all these PGAs and all that sort of thing. So how does this one fit in?
So the name of the tournament is the New Zealand PGA Championship. Where people get confused, it sits on the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia, mm-hmm. Which is a global circuit that's played over four or five different countries. And we're towards the end of the season. The season finishes at the National next April, so it runs from the 1st of July through to the end of June, but the season-ending race is at the end of April this year.
So at the moment, in recent times, there's been the big ones in Australia. How does that – is that sort of a different division or anything, or that's all part of that division?
No, that's all part of the same tour. The biggest issue around the Australasian tour as well is that they have to fit in with everywhere else. The PGA Tour in the USA runs – about 50 weeks a year now.
It's big. You turn your Sky Sport on and it's great. I can watch golf anytime pretty much.
Yeah, it's on every week. So those events with those enormous purses rely on, the top players coming to play. And there's sort of only 3 or 4 weeks a year where they can do that. So that's why those events are there. I'm sure if you asked most of the Australians, they'd probably prefer it in January or February when the weather's a bit better, but that's what they get. So, the Australian Open's on this week at the famous Royal Melbourne, and it should be a good show. And, we'll take a couple of weeks break for Christmas and then back into it.
Yes.
Yeah,
so what are all the things that you've had to do, aside from your general manager role, which is obviously a full-time job? So when did it kind of come about that you were going, let's bring this into the club? Or does the New Zealand Golf Association or whatever say to you, hey, we've got a deal for you?
Twofold equation. I used to actually work for the PGA Tour of Australasia. So I was a golf professional. I still am. I turned pro at 18, which seems like forever ago now. And when I stopped playing full time and, focused on having a family, I went and worked for the tour for 3 years. And I'm in a fortunate position where the head of the tour is a good friend of mine. So mm-hmm. we opened discussions back probably 8 or 9 months ago now. We finally sort of brought it together really in the last month. We'll be really honest, it was up in the air for a while, but we've had some great support, which I'm sure you'll ask about later, mm-hmm. From local stakeholders and council. And it means we've got the go-ahead to run now. It'll be really exciting. Mm.
Well, obviously, this will be the first time in some years that championship has even been held, hasn't it?
Yes. So the New Zealand PGA originally in the mid-2000s was the marquee event in New Zealand. Global economic crisis and a few other things meant that the tournament wasn't as sustainable then. And the New Zealand Open actually, I would say, took over. They did a wonderful job of marketing their event. Their event is a pro-am format where amateur golfers pay to play in that tournament with a golf professional. So it's an amazing model for that. There's nowhere else in New Zealand that could really host that tournament, because you need two, sometimes three courses. Mm-hmm. You need lots of accommodation. The New Zealand Open, there's more than 300 players who play in that event, let alone support staff and officials. So it's a very big machine, very big beast, and they do a remarkable job. And to be honest, Queenstown is the place for it, for that event. But there's a real appetite for golf in New Zealand now, and it's really exciting that a couple of other events are coming to the country.
Brilliant. So, I mean, and congratulations for scoring that and all the work that's gone in and that commitment that you've got from the kind of the national association as well as, you know, local people. So you've got that. So let's share with everybody. What are the dates for it for a start?
Yeah, the dates are the 19th to the 22nd of February, which is a Thursday, but access actually starts from the Monday. There's mm-hmm. practice rounds where the professionals fly in. Our course will be closed for the week, so spectators are welcome every day. And the beauty for our region, unlike other ticketed events, is it's free entry. So
Free. I love that word.
So, yes, me too. So we are in the process of talking to our friends at council around some activations and some events where we can bring crowds in seamlessly. We're pretty lucky. There's a sort of, you know, road in, road out, roundabout down Carpety Road for mm-hmm. spectators to come in, and we're hoping to see as many people as possible.
Great. And wearing my other hat as regional council, I know we've got the trains and then the bus actually goes down the road with the courses. So I'm glad to hear that you're getting good relationships with the local council and local businesses. So, free is a great ticket price for people. So what's the kind of experience that, you know, my sister was texting me and she's actually recently been at the Brisbane Championship and then going on to the Melbourne one. And she was like, oh, $105 for 4 days of watching. She felt that was such good value. And she followed around and I said, oh, what's it like to watch it in the flesh? Like, and she was going, oh, you see what all the players do in between and when they're having snacks and how they practice and warm up, you know, not just what the TV coverage is. So what will be like the experience, do you imagine, for people if they go along? Because I'll be dead keen.
Yeah. We've taken a little bit of a different approach for this year. Unlike a lot of other tournaments where the practice facilities at the course, mm-hmm. ours is not. Ours is down the road at Otterdale Park, the sports fields. So the practice facility will be off-site, which means we won't have grandstands either. Ours is a walking tournament, so mm-hmm. there's no ropes apart from a select couple of areas. So the crowds can actually get in and walk behind the players. So they can get right up.
Ooh.
Right up close, not too close. And watch. So I guess if you model it on anything else, the Victorian Open, which is played down at 13th Beach in Australia, is very similar. They don't do grandstands either. They rope. Again, we're a small profile. People come in, they walk with the players and get a real sort of hands-on experience, which is neat. Mm. And then, yeah, it's you know, pretty exciting.
Mm. Well, you know, I went to a big tennis tournament for the first time in my life this year, and there's nothing quite like the experience of seeing how fast those shots are. And when you're there, you sort of feel how powerful those shots are. And again, that's what my sister was saying. It's like, you know, when you're there, you can see how far they are hitting. You know, you just can't fully capture that when you're watching it on the screen.
No, you can't. Yeah, to the point where I've been a professional now a long time, and I played for a number of years on this circuit that's coming, and even now the talent level is just outrageous. I feel third rate, truly. They're remarkable young, some old, but mainly young people who are I should mention the Australasian PGA Tour is a feeder tour, so there's opportunities to, particularly with Europe, to go to the DP World Tour,
mm-hmm.
Which you'll see. You know, New Zealander Kazuma Kobori had a really good year year. He made the tour championship. Yeah. You know, that's the whole premise of this tour, and they're just so talented. It's ridiculous,
it's
to
ridiculous,
be honest.
Yes. Yeah. And is it also possible that through that they can get a card for the US tournaments?
Yes, so the US tournaments now are fed from the DP World Tour. So mm-hmm. there's kind of three stages now. The PGA Tour in America is obviously the biggest. The DP World Tour in Japan, which, by the way, we're co-sanctioned with Japan, so there'll be mm-hmm. Japanese stars here as well.
Ooh.
Which is, you know, you think about it holistically, it's great for tourism and stuff as well because they're a big, big visitor to the region. And yeah, it feeds both. So they're the DP World and the Japan Tour are the sort of the next two biggest, and then probably the PGA Tour Australasia sits just under that. So.
Right. So as part of the organising that you've been really, you know, tearing into in the last couple of months and all the bits you have to pull together, let me think, you have to, like, do you have to, you know, organise who's coming? you know, you're aside from actually going, right, here's a club, get the club ready, you know, great course, what are our facilities up to scratch, you know, the basic stuff, the food stuff, the changing rooms, lots of things, a practice range. What about actually beyond that, what actually is the role that you'll have to do, like, you know, attracting players, marketing for a crowd?
Yep, the tour themselves are actually a pretty well-oiled machine. They do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Our deliverables, first and foremost, are the world-class golf course, which mm-hmm. we have already.
It's in the top 100.
It is,
I keep looking that up going, I can't believe we have a course in Carpet in the top 100. It is. Every version of top 100 you Google, it's in there.
When we announced, softly announced the tour announced last week, my phone lit up just with friends and former colleagues saying they're coming to the region. You know, the first one's always the hardest too, so I truly believe once we get this one off the line, we're off and racing. It's our intention to keep it. Mm-hmm. We have a first right of refusal for the next couple of years as well, so mm-hmm. provided it goes well, it'll stay. But our deliverables are that, you know, making sure that the clubhouse and the facilities are in good order, which is a battle at the moment. We're ticking time bomb. I'm sure you're aware, but one of the walls of our clubhouse collapsed.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, which with lots and lots of comments, some funny, some not so funny. And it was we've only just finally got the insurance approval yesterday at about 3 o'clock to go ahead and do that. But, of course, coming into Christmas with local trades, we're ticking time bomb, but I'm confident we'll get that all sorted beforehand.
We don't need to put a shout out for any, like, you know, tradies that are free in the weekend, you know. Yeah.
Oh, they know who they are.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, if the mini golf's anything to go by, you know, link up with Rotary and Lions. They know how to get those tradies, you know, tearing in and helping them out. Anyway, I digress. But, back to, like, the organisation. So what other things are you – so that again, the Sky coverage, because it's going to be live on TV.
It is, yes. So a lot of the stuff around that is there's a big volunteer schedule. So the tour releases in the next couple of weeks a logistics review, which tells us what they need from us. Mm-hmm. We envision we'll need probably 70 to 80 volunteers for the week. Shout out. There'll be some comms come out in the next few weeks about, you know, we'll have a lot of our own club members mm-hmm. putting their hand up. But for locals or anyone else who'd like to volunteer for the week, that'll be organised by a couple of our members who will chair that committee. And that's things like, you know, looking after the driving range, the practice facility, mm-hmm. live scoring. So there's live scoring for this event. So there's people who walk around with walking scorers, which are like little iPads that you punch the scores into.
Oh, yep.
There's scoreboard holders. There's
reasonable muscle strength.
Hold the scoreboards. Yeah. That actually goes into a brace. You wear a backpack.
Sounds easy. Anyone can do it by the sounds of it.
Anyone can do that, yeah. There's just little things like drink stations. You know, the drinks are supplied by our commercial partners. So there'll be just people filling those up, keeping the things full of ice. There'll be score checkers. So when the scorecards come at the end of the day, you sit there with the calculator and add them up, which is a high-pressure job. So
not for me. Ring the accountants. Not that one, thank you.
Yeah. And just lots of little stuff. You know, a lot of it seems really simple, but it's a lot of gopher stuff because you do work on the fly, depending on the weather or, you know, the little things that fall your way.
And also, you know, when I've watched you know, tournaments on the telly, and you see if there's a rule, you know, they're like there's something's it's gone out of bounds, and then rules need to be checked. I mean, you don't necessarily have somebody on the spot for every hole. So do you have? How do you kind of gather those kind of people who know the rules and will make a call on it?
Yeah, the tour provide those, and there's generally six a day at a tournament of this size, and we're a pretty small. Small parcel land at Paraparaumu, so there'd be sort of three rules officials on each nine holes who are all on radio. So they sit in a golf cart and just wait. Peace. And if a player calls the rules official, they're there in a minute or so. And we're pretty lucky as a golf course compared to a lot of others. A lot of golf courses, you know, dig into the rules a bit, set up with penalty areas and stuff. Paraparaumu only has a couple, and the only out of bounds is the external fence, apart from one internal out of bounds. So from a rules perspective, it should be a pretty simple one. It's you know, pretty raw as nature finds it, which is a good thing for us.
Yeah. So, and how many bunkers do you have all up?
Good question. Not actually that many. I'd say maybe 25 or 30.
Oh, really? Because I haven't played there yet, to be honest. And I'm a bit like nervous because all I hear about are these big bunkers.
They are deep, and that's Lynx golf at its finest. But it's also quite firm sand. So,
oh, good.
With good technique, I'd argue they're easier.
Yeah. Good technique. That could be the thing you see there. So it'll be on Sky.
It is on Sky. Yes. Yeah. It's also televised. In Australia, on Australia's equivalent called KO and Foxtel.
Right.
And it'll also be televised in Japan and a few other smaller countries on Golf Channel.
So that's a big audience.
It is.
So that flow on effect, so that's a great marketing thing right there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
It's exciting.
Oh, yes. So where are all these players going to stay?
Well, that's a question. A good question, Penny. We most, you know, to be honest, most will stay in town. We will exhaust and as part of our tournament information document, we will favour the Carpathia region first. Mm-hmm. So once they are exhausted, you know, we're expecting, you know, crowds of between 7,000 and 10,000 for the week of people filtering through plus players. So a lot will be local, but a lot will stay wherever. But it's probably ample time for us as a community to talk about some more accommodation in Carpathia because it's a real nice place to come. So.
Yeah.
But most will stay in, you know, local Airbnbs, the local hotels, et cetera.
Great. Oh, you know, but it's if our capacity is even 80% full, that's a great week for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so it doesn't need to be like we don't need to have everything. If our existing capacity is utilised, that's good for our district.
Totally. And the thing with these tournaments too, particularly in a region like ours where it's not outrageously overly priced, people will eat out, the players will eat out, they'll, you know, breakfast, coffees, you know, that sort of stuff. Particularly, you know, we're lucky we're a stone's throw from the beach precinct, so players will, you know, go down there for their morning breakfast or up to the mall to shop and supplies and groceries and stuff like that. So it's quite hard this year because we haven't had it for such a long time to do or to give the economic impact. But the players after every tournament are actually surveyed and they're very honest about what they spend. A lot of them, it's a good initiative that the tour do is to survey the players to see, you know, the economic impact, and then they give that back to local council and stuff to say, hey, this is actually what, you know, our players, it's really hard to do with the fans, but this is what the players spent. And Yeah.
So, and I know, you know, from being in that kind of sphere, that, you know, you can actually get very good data off people's cards, bank cards, of because we see about, you know, that Carpathia people, if they've gone off in another district to spend their money on Lambton Quay or the Porirua, so we'll be able to capture other people coming into the district for that week and where they spent it and how they spent it, you know, whether it's petrol, as you say, accommodation, you know, Band-Aids down at the chemist.
Great. For good blisters.
Or the, you know, well, you know, that's the thing too. I suppose, you know, if you've got like, you know, an 0800 number for all the physios in the district, got them on call. I mean, what do they have, like a player's tent where they have some?
They do, yeah. So there's player medical for the week.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, which is a good thing. So we'll be hoping to use local local doctors and stuff for that as well.
Yeah.
But I think the thing we're probably, you know, missing as well, or the most exciting thing, is actually the television. I moved here from Melbourne a year ago, and you know, I'm the head of a top 100 golf course in the world, and people in Melbourne, when I said I was coming to Paraparaumu, said where, and it's quite shocking, to be fair. So I think there's a huge opportunity for us to. And I know that we're in talks with other golf clubs in Wellington region at the moment, you know, sort of on a joint venture together to bring people to Wellington for long and the coast for long weekends.
Yeah.
You know, you can catch a 6 a.m. flight on Monday and be back in the office at 9 o'clock, which is really exciting. And we want people to come here. And I think the television part for us, when we sort of put our heads together as our golf club and a board, was, you know, we want to bring tourists, and if we're being really honest, the bulk of them are the eastern seaboard of Australia. It's a 3-hour flight. They can come here, spend their money for a long weekend and go home. And, you know, you've seen what it's like as well at the moment in your capacity. And, you know, I think we're really close, but we just need some spark. And hopefully, hopefully a tournament like this, particularly for golfers, will bring people to the region, then you know, we might get some of that market who currently really go to Queenstown and they go to Mangawhai.
I've been, you know, all those algorithms that put stuff at me through Facebook, and I see that there are actually quite a few places doing kind of packages at the moment for, like, you know, Christchurch is doing, you know, play these three courses or four rounds at Clearwater, or, you know, I'm kind of going, oh, so, you know, there's plenty of options you could do because you look at how many amazing courses there are, and that's part of the reason I started up this show is because there's lots of golf courses around, you know, if you even, you know, north up, Kapiti, Horowhenua, all through Wellington, the Hutt. I played Wainui Mata for the first time in the weekend, and it was lovely, just beautiful, you know, countryside and that. So and every course can be so different too. You know, you've got the Morgans,
I haven't played half of them, to be fair, and it's really slacking me, but you know, life gets in the way. I've got a young family, and whenever you know, I'm blessed to play Paraparaumu quite a bit, and every now and then I duck across to Royal Wellington just through some you know, relationships through work, but that's about it for me at the moment. The rest of my weekend spent at home. But.
So the other side of it is, you know, for look, I know it, as a newbie golfer, and you know, I want to come and watch. Also, I'll kind of go, oh wow, so and so's got that club. I should get that club. I could be that good if I get that club, right?
Yeah.
And or they've got those shoes, or they've. So, what would the kind of buying options be? Some shopping options, rather, be for, you know, fans.
We will have this year a small selection of merch, and I'll be really honest to the community and the people who are listening today is that risk around the merchandise, as opposed to the tournament, is carried by us at Paraparaumu Beach. Okay. And we're in a strong position at the moment, but we've come from a position of not so much strength in the last 20 years, and we've, you know, previous committees and management have done a brilliant job of digging us out of that hole.
Yeah.
We're very sound now, but there's particularly in merchandise and clothing and stuff around the tournament, it's a big financial risk to carry when we're unsure. So this year might be the case of a small selected range.
Hmm.
If it sells out, that's a great problem to have, which we can ramp into next year. But there will be branded merch on site. We're still in the process of talking to a couple of clothing suppliers around volunteer uniforms and stuff, which then if they come on board as contra sponsors for that, we will let them set up their merch tents as well to sell to crowds and fans.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, the merch, folks, it's cool. It's so cool to be like, you know, having done a bit of travel earlier in the year and gone to a big tennis tournament, and then I'm still wearing the kit,
cool,
or I went and played overseas on a golf course and I very smartly bought the kind of the knitted vest, and I wear that all the time. Everyone goes, what's that course? Where did you play? And you go, oh, wow, I played blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's very cool.
We do a lot of club branded, which sells really well for visitors.
Oh, excellent. So that's one way people can be looked after. And what about the driving, the kind of the practice range? Will people be able to go watch them there?
Absolutely, yeah. Ooh. So that was a great initiative. That conversation started through Janet, our mayor, and through Trevor, who's works the parks and stuff with council, and Penny as well. Yeah, absolutely.
I might have said something like, "Oh, what about that space?"
Because I remember the night.
I was on KCDC when we bought that land, and it's prime for
it's
that.
It's the perfect spot for that. So they've been unbelievably accommodating, actually, and it's a perfect spot. It's close enough. The traffic through there. You know, provided not school time, we'll put that in the notes. But it's a great spot. And that there's you could land a plane in there. So you spectators are more than welcome to go out and watch. And to be fair, it's probably a really nice place to watch the pros up close for a good hour in their warm ups and really watch them take flight.
Yeah.
So
because I find that fascinating when you know some of these big tournaments where they actually show not the play days, the couple of days before, where, you know, so and so's got off a plane and you're thinking, oh yeah, they just like line up and hit because they're so good, but no, they go out and they're really going back to basics, and it's fascinating to watch. And you go, oh my god, I have to do that too.
The best players in the world are so disciplined.
Yes.
They do the same stuff every day. And it's why they're the best. So it'll be, I'd encourage people to get out there, to be fair.
Brilliant. Oh, well, I think there's lots of opportunity in here for people to see it, from all the different clubs, people to potentially volunteer to help out. That would be great. I'm sure from all the different clubs, they'll be really supportive. I hope they will be. All the local places to eat. I mean, if you were having I didn't go so today, I was plus two today, walking along the beach, that would be like a real chill regroup, ideal for it for some of those pros. So have you got any names to give us yet?
No, not at the moment.
And how will we find out about that, and when will that start? Surfacing.
If you head to the PGA Tour of Australasia website, I think it's golf. It's just changed. They've just gone to a new domain, but it's golf.org.au.
We'll Google.
Correct. Yeah. You'll be able to see the player list in there. There'll be the tour will go out to some marquee players in the next week or two, asking them to come and play. There's actually three events in New Zealand. From that week, it's us. There's an event in Auckland after the New Zealand Open, and then there's the New Zealand Open wedge in the middle. So we'd hope that the quality of the field to be quite strong. People come for 3 weeks.
So they can go boom, boom, boom.
Some of the biggest issues around New Zealand in the past have been the tax implications for players.
Mm-hmm.
You came, you paid New Zealand dollars, you tax, because it's not your country, and you'd come for 1 week. So it would... at the end of the day, golf is a business for these people. But now that there's three events, it makes it a lot more worthwhile to come here and, invest their time into us, and vice versa. We'll lay out three great golf experiences and hope they continue to come.
It's going to be amazing for your golf course, for all us players to kind of see the quality for free. Thank you. Thank you, because I know it must have been a huge amount of effort, focus, work. But also, you carry the stress and the worry of kind of going, can we do this? So we'll look forward to some updates. In the meantime, if you could have a game of golf with anybody, who would it be, and where would you want to play that round?
I really only have one golfing hero, and he has been my whole life, and it's Adam Scott. Ooh. I've been fortunate enough to meet him a couple of times, but only to say hello. But he carried Australian golf. It's pretty clear that I'm an Aussie, and he carried our country after the whole Greg Norman phase, still does, to be fair. Absolute professional, great guy, wonderful player. So he'd be the first. I'd have a couple of people in line, but the greatest day of golf I've actually had was with a great friend, another golf pro who used to caddy for me. We played St Andrews together in 2013. We slept on the front doorstep trying to get a tea time. We got out together that morning because you line up at St Andrews.
Oh, okay.
And then the third, to be honest, would be my dad. And my dad isn't even that much of a golfer, but he lives across the ditch now. He's coming for Christmas, which would be great. But he's actually quite a handy golfer for someone who plays once every 2 years. And it'd just be to get out and have a whack. So the three of us there would be an eclectic bunch. And probably a lot of yahooing, and it would be a great time. Where? I can't go past Putapahu Beach, can I?
I think that'd be an ideal spot.
One of Hayley's famous breakfasts before we head off.
And that would be that lovely moment where you could say to Adam, now this number three, this is how you might want to play it.
Yeah, correct. Ooh. We are hoping one day, if the tournament kicks off and we keep it, there's strong rumours that former Putapahu local Steve Williams, who caddied for Adam Scott for a long time, won the Masters with Adam.
Yes, I spotted that, yeah.
Has said to Adam that you owe me one week in New Zealand before your career ends. And look, it won't be this year. We're trying to grow. But hopefully Adam gets to a stage of his life where he's keen to come and play for a week at our place. So it's a pipe dream, but a good one all the same.
I imagine a pipe dream is how this whole championship started out, and now it's happening.
This championship, has been around for a long time. The tour, and good on them, have taken a big punt on elevating the event so it's on TV.
Yeah.
For the listeners, the TV is really expensive,
particularly
in this country. And although not a bad thing, it's really important for us to be on the TV to give value to commercial sponsors, stakeholders, partners, etc. Mm-hmm. The PGA Tour of Australasia took a big gamble just after COVID for televising all their events, and it's paid off in absolute spades. So, I'm sure the first year they would have run at a pretty hefty loss for that, and now the commercial partners have come on board. you know, sponsoring all the events. It's great to watch golf on TV a lot now. Sky Sport cover that circuit pretty well. And it's paying real dividends now. So it's that calculated gambling.
Hey, look, thank you so much for your time. We better wrap it up. Heaps to talk about, and just wish you all the best. And come on, Kapiti, and Hora Whenua. That's, you know, the sort of the reach and beyond for our listeners. But we go up on to as a podcast as well. So encouraging people to come along and support people who are local businesses. This is going to be a big week for you. And, volunteers, I'm sure we'll have plenty of locals who want to help you. So thank you so much, Dylan.
Thanks, Petty. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to another episode of Let's Talk Golf.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.